Welcome, friends, to a moment of profound reflection and empowerment. On this February 18th, 2024, we are honored to have guest speaker Jim Sims guide us through the sermon, Choices. Together, let's explore the impact of our choices in the light of this divine truth, understanding how our decisions shape our lives and align us with the omnipotent goodness of God.
And then as you approach the door to your innerness, just set that box aside. And I will tell you now, you don't have to pick it up when you come back out. Go in through the door. Make yourself comfortable. Allow yourself to experience that light of love that is there. Move into that and allow it to move into you and accept the peace that is rightfully yours in the silence. Take another deep in-breath. Let it out easily and count yourself out. Move back into the outer experience. Come back through the door as we come together. Nope. Oh, that, yeah, that's right. The bottom part. There's one presence and one power. I don't know about you, but when I was young, I was confronted by many different images of God, many different ways of understanding God, and many different experiences. A lot of them were negative feelings. A lot of them were fear. A lot of them were come down, kneel at the altar. I knelt at the altar several times and was saved and never did feel a whole lot different. But somehow I knew that there was something very important about this whole thing of being a spiritual being. I knew that there was something there that would be very helpful to me. And I lived my life. I moved through different situations, and I entered a marriage with a girl, immature, self-centered. She liked to project a lot. I learned a lot in that wonderful experience. Most of what I learned was, I don't want to be here. So, but a part of what happened while I was married to her was I joined the Methodist Church. I was baptized, became very active in the Sunday school class, and I was informed at one point they're going to have a meeting at the big church downtown Polk Street Methodist Church. And I think you would be, I think you'd be interested in going to that. So I went to it. And I've told these stories various times, but this time I'm going in a slightly different direction. So I went, and I found out that it was about Methodist was joining with the United someone?
Methodist.
United
Methodist
Brethren?
Brethren.
Anyway, they were joining with them. The important thing was the Methodist Church was going to have to change some of what they believed, what they were saying, their presentation, and I thought to myself, I thought that it was black and white, and it's not something you could change just for convenience. Okay, so at that particular point, I said to myself, well, if these guys don't have it, I'm going to start looking around and I'm going to find something better, something that is more secure. And I was probably about 23, maybe 24. And then my life kind of, that means it went down the hill. But I found through a boss teacher, I found a different approach, and I reached the point where I was able to move beyond that experience that I was having with her. And then I moved out of that, and I went back to college. I got a college degree in behavioral science. I say I have a BS in BS, but I really got a lot out of that. After that, I found someone else to possibly marry, and she and I did get married, and we were living in LaPorte, Texas. She was living in LaPorte. She had just moved to LaPorte to be their dietitian for the schools. So she had a good income, which is fortunate because I wasn't able to make any money in sales. And I had one sales job and then another sales job. And finally, I was at a point where I was saying, okay, Father, that isn't working. But before that, I had found unity. The bottom statement there is the opening statement given at a lot of Unity ministries. How many of you have used that one as an opening statement for a Unity? I'd like to see a show of hands. Okay, so it's several. Okay, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life: God, the good, omnipotent. And I'm going to work with that idea a little bit because to me it's very central to unity. I want to look at the words in that, and I want to come to some recognition, some of which you're going to get uncomfortable in this talk today. I'm just telling you, you will probably get uncomfortable unless you have really thought this whole spiritual thing through. There's only one presence. There's one presence in the universe. There is one presence in the universe. The mystics call it the ground of being. We call it God. We call it presence. The ground of being. It is that which lies behind. And Robert and I and several others are exploring that level because that is the level of non-duality. That's the level of being totally at one with that reality that is within. And if you're interested, you can go to YouTube and look up non-duality, and and see different approaches to it. There's one presence, and it's the only power. Now, it's interesting. There's one presence and one power in the universe. And, you know, I used to say, and in my life, and there was a part of me that said, well, why do I have to say, and in my life? I mean, if it's the one presence and one power in the universe, why do I have to say, and in my life? But I came to the realization and the recognition that I had to claim it. I had to be open to it. God, the good, G-O-O-D, good, with a capital G. And I think it saved my bacon many times that I say it that way. God the good is central to my life experience. God the good. I'm a metaphysician. Words are important to me. A metaphysician is someone who recognizes how it works, if you want to use those terms. And in recognizing how it works, they know what their choices are. I love the five principles. We just finished reading the first principle today. It is an absolutely excellent little book on getting past some of the stuff that you have to deal with. By the way, I have some copies. If you would like one, I'll bring copies next week. I give them away. To me, it's important that people have the opportunity to have that book so that they can study it and look at it. Remind me to put the... Is Carol still here? Yeah. Remind me to put the little box in the car. God the good, which means that the good is what we are affirming and claiming. Now, there are two aspects to affirmations. The first aspect to affirmations are the ones that we do every Sunday, the ones that we're always giving energy to, and in every time we do that, we're talking about wholeness, we're talking about love, we're talking about peace, we are talking about the good, always. We're always lifting that up in here. It's important to recognize that as a congregation, as a group of individuals, we want to energize the good together for ourselves and for the world. By doing that, we cohese together. Where two or more come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We are coming together in the Christ as we're working here. Affirmations have another focus also. The other focus of an affirmation is if you have a difficulty, if you have a challenge, if something is not right with your body, with your mind, with your heart, with whatever, if something is out of kilter there, you use affirmations then to reclaim the wholeness that is rightfully yours. You use affirmations to move yourself from one thought for one way of thinking into another way of thinking. That's new thought is all about that. That's what new thought is really focused on, is moving from one way of thinking, acting, feeling into a way that is more whole, more powerful, more resonant, more balanced. God the good, omnipotent. Okay, now we come to the three O's. If I say omnipotent, you're going to think that God out there is omnipotent, all-powerful. Okay, but if I say omnipotence, it shifts it. God is omnipotence. You are the presence of omnipotence within yourself. Omnipotence is the much better word, and it's the one that you want to work with. Omnipotence. Omniscient If someone is omniscient, it's like that individual has access to all information. But if you say omniscience, you come to the recognition that that is here for you as you, because you are the presence of God. You are the presence of that infinite is. What's the third one? Omnipresence? If you say omnipresent, he's looking at you from outside. If you say omnipresence, you are recognizing that you are at one with all. You are at one. You are at one with all. Now, most of us pull ourselves into our heads. The most we may do is have those aspects around us that we're in control of. But all of that is not real. You are the presence of the infinite. You are the presence of omniscience. You are the presence of wisdom. And the one word definition for God is
good.
Good, yes, but God is love. That is another aspect of who and what you truly are. You are the presence of love. There are some other things we work with, such as the source. You are at one with the source. You are at one with the Creator. Things are going to get a little hairy here, folks, because I'm about to change something for some of you, or at least have you confront it. Maybe you can change it later. God doesn't have a will. Not as we think of a will. God is not willful. Never has been, never will be. Anytime you have heard God will is X, it's because someone has laid something on that infinite isness and is projecting it. God's will is X. Okay? God doesn't have a will. God has a nature which is oneness, love, peace, all knowledge, all good right now. So I want to talk for a moment about being around someone who is negative or limited, experiencing that. So what are you going to lift up? What are you going to energize? What are you going to give your energy to? Fighting against? No, don't go there, because we know what we resist persists. If you're judging, you are setting yourself up for being judged by exactly the same parameters that you're putting out there. No. If you say, I have this whole life spectrum that is really screwed up, how could I possibly just have the good come in? Well, just have the good come in. When you choose to go in a direction that is different from what your life has gone in before, it's simply a choice. Energize what you love and allow the other to be what it will be. Allow it to die on the vine. Allow it to go ahead and progress. It's all God. This is difficult to understand. If I am loving and whole and lifting up lovingness and wholeness and giving that the energy that I want to bring into life, that's what comes into life, and that's God. If I send out negative vibrations, if I send out hate, if I send out fear, if I send out anything else, that same willing, loving energy will move through my choice and produce it in and as my life. People don't like to hear that. They want God to only give energy to the good. The infinite one, which has been around for forever. I mean, eternity in the sense of what eternity really means, which is unstarting and unending. That is here. And we just happen to be a small manifestation on a small planet that has come to the awareness of the ground of being and come to an awareness of the power that can be ours as we align ourselves with wholeness. And also in this process, we are an immature, it was talked about in our book, Five Principles this morning, we are immature beings. If you think about it, that's pretty good. That's pretty close. But by the same token, we are unfolding and the good is here. Okay. I covered that spot. Now I have a story to tell. There I was, about 32 years old, and I had decided, okay, sales, I don't seem to be doing too good at sales. So, Father, be with me. I went to the Texas Employment Commission. That's what it was called way back in the 70s. So I went to the Texas Employment Commission, and I looked for middle management jobs. And I got four lined up to go talk to them. Well, first job I went by myself. And, you know, I just made the application. I didn't know, you know, if they were going to call me back, they were going to call me back. It was going to be all right, you know. And then the second one, they wanted to meet my wife also. And I thought, okay, well, they're really interested in the possibility of my unfolding and moving up. So I took my wife with me. And on the way home, she said, you know, David called yesterday. And I said, yeah, I remember you mentioning the fact that he had called. And she said, I thought that you had prayed that you were going to take the first job offer. And that's the way you were going to know, that's the way your guidance was going to work. I had spent several hours in a meditation type situation. God, you make sure that the first job offer I get is the one I'm supposed to take. I mean, four. How would I know which one I needed to take? And she said, what I don't understand is he had a job offer in sales. Did you not want sales? I said, I didn't tell God that. Okay. My right job. A couple of months into that non-productive job, I think I sold one set of hearing aids. Supervisor called me in and we talked, and he said, if you could be doing anything you wanted to do, what would you do? And I said, helping people. He said, why don't you? I went home and told my wife what he had said, and she said, why don't you? So I thought, maybe I should. So I looked into the possibility of getting a more advanced degree in behavioral science, and when I was talking to I think it was LSU, I'm not positive. But I was talking to them about it, and they talked about the physiology of the brain, and there was a part of them that said, no, that's not the way you want to go. So, what do I do? And I thought about it, and I thought, I should become a minister, but that's a helping profession. So, I went and talked to my pastor, and I had two pastors at that time. One was the pastor of the little church that my wife and I had joined. We had joined the church. I had gotten on the board. I was the treasurer. We were both very involved in the church. And then the other church was one we had found a little bit before. That was the Unity Ministry. And So I went to talk to that minister, and I asked him if he would recommend me, and he said, yeah, I'll recommend you. So I was recommended for ministry. I put in an application, and away I went. I want you to notice that I put forth, I wanted to be in my right place. And then it came about. When you are willing, then the good will come to you. That which is of your consciousness will come to you. I was a couple of stories. One is John was talking to us and said that when he was introduced to Unity, he was in sales. And so he decided he was going to see if this worked. So when he got back to his office, he took his daily calendar. You know these little flip pages? This is long before anything we have now. But you know how you had a single day and you flip it. So he went down 2 or 3 months and he wrote in how much money he wanted to earn by that date. And then he forgot it. Then he just went about doing his thing, what needed to be done. When he came to that date, when he flipped it over and he looked at it and he did his calculations, he found out that's what he had earned. That was the individual I talked to about becoming a minister. John Rankin, the minister at University of Houston at that time. It works. Now you have to be really careful. I'm going to repeat a couple of stories that I like to tell. One of the stories I like to tell is another minister at Unity who Bill Fisher, who was actually the head of the school there. He was talking about he had reached a point where he thought it was time for him to get a Cadillac. I've told this story several times. So what he did was he looked out his window at his Chevrolet, his nice green Chevrolet, and he stretched it out and reformed it. And he did this on a daily basis. It's almost like an affirmation if you want to think of it. So he stretched it out and then the day came, someone says, "There's a Cadillac. I know where you can get it. The price is great." The price was so great he couldn't pass it up, although it was green, just like his Chevrolet. He hadn't changed the color of his Chevrolet. He wanted something different, but he hadn't made that change. All right? Don Shipp, I love Don. He was in that other little congregation that I was working with. He had two different things that I thought, three things that were unique. One was that He distributed these Bibles that you get in motels and so on. What are they called? The Gideons. He was a Gideon, and so that was a part of his thing. And but he had two stories that told me that things were needed to be looked at. One story was, he said, when God wanted him to do something and he wasn't paying attention, he'd get hit over the head. One time a hammer fell and hit him on the head, and another time a tent camper collapsed on him when he had gotten the word that he should be doing something and he had just put it off because he was involved in his mundane life. He got hit on the head twice. Would God do that? There are people who would say, who dislike the idea that God would do that. But God, you see, he knew that God would get his attention. And he knew that getting hit over the head would get his attention. And once it had happened once, he was set up for it to happen again. When he was guided to do something and he chose to go a different direction. this infinite, active part of your being moves through whatever it is you're holding in your mind and heart. A lot of people don't like that. They want it to be all good. I mean, we're claiming that God is good here. Yes, we're claiming that God is good here because we are choosing to have God, the good, moving in and through our lives at all times. We are making a conscious choice to have God move through our lives at all times in a positive way. Another story I want to tell you is about Frank. Frank was one of my instructors at Unity, and one Monday he wasn't there. And when he came in on Tuesday, he said, okay, guys, I have a story to tell you. He said, this guy was going to talk to me about insurance on Saturday. I didn't want to talk to him about insurance, so I told him I was sick. So he got sick, and he was out Sunday and Monday, and got back Tuesday. Got to be careful what you ask for. You have to recognize what it is you're doing, and ultimately you have to learn how to clean out all of the garbage that's back there. You have to find a way. There are several different paths to do that. But in doing that, you will find the peace that is rightfully yours. God moves through our lives in wonderful, beautiful ways, including bringing the children in at just the right time. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, friends, for joining us in this thoughtful exploration of choices with Jim Sims. As we part ways on this February 18th, 2024, may the insights gained today inspire you to make choices that lead to growth, happiness, and fulfillment. For more spiritual guidance and resources, we invite you to visit our website at tylerunitycenter.org. Engage with our community by visiting our Facebook page and subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. And if you're in the Tyler, Texas area, we warmly welcome you to join us at 14024 Highway 155 South for more enriching experiences. Copyright 2024, Tyler Unity Center. All rights reserved. May your journey forward be illuminated by thoughtful choices, guiding you towards a life of purpose and peace.